Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show.
How's everybody doing today? How are you, Abby?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah. You know, what's just up? Living life, breathing air.
Yeah.
Somehow we know we're going to get there.
Definitely going
to
get there.
Yeah. I mean, there's really nothing going on other than going to work, going to Pilates, going for walks, feeding my cats, applying to jobs. That's what I'm doing.
I have been utterly exhausted the last 2 days. I think just the reality of this whole thing, you know, we've told you that. I've known this is going to be going on for a while now, but just the reality and talking about it and answering all the emails and the messages. Your question the other day about how many messages have you think you've answered, right? It's tripled since then. And I'm really trying as hard as I can to get to like 90% of them. But I think the reality of it, I think my body's just like, and I've just been exhausted the last 2 days.
Time for night night.
Yeah, just exhausted.
I'm a little sleepy.
Yeah, not dying. No, but just really, really tired. So I haven't really been very productive in anything, and it has felt great. Really great.
Oh, you're just like priming yourself, gearing up for retirement. That's what it is.
I'm already looking at where to go on the 25th. The last day of the Burt Show is the 24th. And I thought maybe out to Texas, because for whatever reason, the thought of like going to see the Milky Way and just staring at it for a couple of days sounded like a great idea. So I'm looking at Texas. I'm looking at a couple of places in Utah, maybe also Bryce Canyon. Then I thought maybe go home like to San Diego for a couple of days and just really chill and not be in the car. And then I said to myself, you know what the beauty of this whole thing is? I can leave and I can go to Utah. And if I'm there 2 days and I've seen the Milky Way and I'm like, that's cool, time to leave. I can. I don't have to be anywhere.
Or if you love it, you can stay.
Or I can stay.
What is it about the Milky Way that's appealing to you?
Yeah.
I have always really loved stars. They fascinate me, man. And I've never really had I think I've only seen the Milky Way like 2 times. And even in those times, it was a little bit on the cloudy side. One time was in Tahiti. Wow. That was like living in, what do you call those places?
Like a planetarium?
Planetarium. Like I felt like I could reach up. And I had that for like one night and I thought, you know what? I'd like to experience that for a little bit longer. So maybe that's the route I'm going to go.
So are you looking at dark sky zones, like certified ones?
Exactly.
There are 17 U.S. national parks that are dark sky zones because apparently astrotourism is a big thing.
Yeah, it is. I didn't realize that until the last couple of days. But having that kind of freedom when you have any kind of job, you just can't do that. You got to be back at a certain time and you got to be, people are dependent on you. Not a lot of people depended on me after the 24th, so I can take a little bit more time. So I'm excited about that. Really excited about that. How are you?
I'm good. Yesterday was freaking insane. So left here, went home, and tried to make myself look as presentable as possible because I had a photo shoot yesterday at Pinnacle Fitness where I've been doing my strength training with my trainer, Jamie, for the Simply Buckhead magazine. So we are moving forward and doing the article about strength training for women. So
it's been how many months now since you've been consistent strength training?
I started in March.
Okay.
So you can count them as on.
The only number on my mind right now is 22. You count.
I'm good. My brain can't math this early in the morning, man. So I had a similar experience, Abby, that you did when you got to, you were chosen and got the cover of Jezebel magazine for Atlanta's, most eligible Atlantans is what it was. So I got there and the photographer was great. Eric was awesome. I get to Pinnacle Fitness and he already had everything set up by he wanted me to do a bench squat or not a bench squat.
Shoulder press is what it looks like you're doing with your hands there. Okay.
You have the bar on your shoulder and you squat down with it and then you come back up.
Oh, okay.
So
all
I
right.
wasn't laying on anything.
Squat
I was like,
okay.
I've been doing this for a minute. I still have no idea what they're called.
It's okay.
And so I look at that and I'm like, I think I've only done that like once or twice. But the photographer had a vision and I'm like, you know, I've done it before. And so but that's totally cool. But again, reminder, I went back and forth. I'm full glam, but like neutral glam. and hair's down, curled. And I'm like looking at myself and I'm like, I never look like this when I work out. And like, so we did a couple of squats and it's like, all right, we're good. It's great. And then we moved downstairs to do a, like just a portrait of Jamie and I. And one place, one position, took a couple shots. All right, we're good. And I was like, is that?
That's it.
I mean, I literally spent 2 hours getting ready. We spent 15 minutes taking photos. Like, WTF, what's going on? So I hope they turned out okay.
I'm sure they're great. So let me say this. Since March, you've been working out. And the important stuff is how you're feeling on the inside.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, Kristen, I don't know if you're... you can just tell. I can look at you and I can just tell that you're in a healthier state now, mm-hmm. especially with all the stress swirling around you right now, man.
Yeah.
The fact that you are keeping it together so well. We were on a Zoom call last night, a FaceTime call, just hanging out. And you just look so healthy. You look really great.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And I do. And I feel it. And... I think having started this journey back in March, which I should have started a year prior, and you know, you can always kick yourself like, why didn't I start this earlier? I'm in some of the best shape of my life right now at the age of 46. I feel it, and now I also see it. It took a minute to see it, but as far as like the definition and the tone of my body, I totally see it. And it's so funny you say that because I was talking to my trainer who's now also turned into a therapist. I'm like, you're going to have to start charging me double, Jamie.
No, that happens. You get therapists and you get hairstylists together. They know everything in your life.
Uh-huh. So Jamie and I were talking yesterday and I was telling him, I'm like, I'm really thankful that I am... thanks to going to therapy for years, I am mentally healthy, but I'm also physically healthy because I think that's really helped me handle everything mm-hmm. that's going on and all the change. So I think by being strong physically, that's helping me be also strong mentally, and it's helping me be strong for the situation that I'm in. And I've been able to handle it a lot better than had I just been like couch rotten and, you know, scrolling Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they say the number one thing you can do for yourself is any kind of exercise whatsoever, you know, and we live these busy lifestyles where we sort of put it on the back burner until you get sick, and then all of a sudden it's on the front burner, and sometimes that's too late, right? I know for me, when I'm working out, it has an effect on everything I'm doing because I'm spending an hour and 15 minutes sometimes in that gym almost every single day. So why, when I'm outside of the gym, would I disrespect the time that I just spent trying to make gains by eating crappy or drinking too much alcohol? It just, in my mind, makes me healthier all the way around.
Oh, no. I still had a glass of Costco Sauvignon Blanc last night.
Keeping it classy.
The Kirkland's Sauvy B, don't sleep on it.
Well, they've rebrand like major alcohol retailers as like Kirkland's. So when you buy Kirkland's stuff, you're probably getting like good stuff.
I'm telling you, that Costco Sauvy B hits.
This has turned quickly.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I have some really exciting news straight out of Rihanna's vagina because Rihanna just gave birth to a baby girl, Rocky Irish Mayers. This is so exciting, and I'm sure a very sweet nod to her man's ASAP Rocky. She is spelling Rocky with an I to add that nice little feminine touch, but she now has a third baby for her crew. She has Riot, RZA, and now Rocky, so we're very excited for Rihanna. Yay!
That picture, oh my God, was so precious.
They're so cute. I mean, they just make the cutest kids.
Uh-huh. And I love, too, like, the feminine strength, because it was a photo of Rihanna and the baby looking just stunning, and then you swipe and it's these tiny satin boxing gloves in
pink.
Oh,
really?
And I'm like, she's gonna raise her a fighter, and I like it.
What did you say the first child's name is?
Riot, RZA, and Rocky.
Riot with a T?
Riot. Like, I'm going to start a riot.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about being born a rebel. I mean, if you believe in those things where, like, your name is going to determine your personality, Riot's going to be a badass.
Watch him be like an introvert. Be like, oh, yeah, that's right in the corner reading Socrates.
Riot. What an awesome name.
By the way, you just came up with, if they end up having a fourth, Rebel.
Rebel. Riot and Rebel. Just at each other all the time.
Oh my God, I'd be scared of those kids. Yeah.
Right, right.
On the playground.
Rocky, Rebel. Right. I feel like Rebel would be the next our name on the list.
Every now and then you run into a kid, like if they have the name Gunner, I'm like, oh, you're going to be a badass.
I do wonder if having a girl now is going to inspire her to do a line of baby clothes, like if it's going to kind of ignite that fashionista in Rihanna, because of course she already has Fenty Beauty, but now getting to dress up her daughter in like little girl clothes, I wonder if we're going to see like Savage X Fenty bows and onesies or whatever, because I know she does have a line of lingerie. Obviously, we don't want to see children in lingerie, but seeing like kids in cute little baby clothes designed by Rihanna, absolutely.
For those of you that have been holding out for a new Rihanna album, you can forget about it. She's making so much money with all these other things. And now with another baby, that's another 6 months without an album.
We're going to get another Smurf song. It's going to be awful. Just kidding. We love you, Rihanna. Whatever you give us, we'll eat up. Camila Cabello, she did something really sweet for a fan the other day. So she ended up meeting this bride-to-be at a hotel bar, which now makes me want to go to every hotel bar in the Atlanta area and just wait for celebrities to come by. So she meets this fan at a hotel bar and learns through a conversation that she was getting married and her father-daughter song was actually going to be a song that Camila Cabello wrote. So it's a song called First Man, and she was so excited about the fact that this fan was going to use this song that she decided to go to her wedding and actually sing it live for her while they were dancing. She said, First Man is a very special song to me. It's a song that I wrote about my dad and about, you know, the moment that I get married. I have not been married yet. I wonder if this will be my father-daughter dance song. I'm such a daddy's girl, and I feel like your dad, if you're lucky, is your first love, your first hero, the man that kind of sets the stage for the next man in your life. Just so sweet. So very exciting for that fan and for Camila Cabello for getting to have that moment with someone.
The Burt Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a History Meets True Crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
It was weird to tell an 18-year-old to pump the brakes yesterday, but I did. Let me ask you guys if you feel the same way, right? So I've been telling you part of this leaving radio is because I've just been grinding it out my entire life, and this industry just doesn't let you relax, man. It's like, what have you done for me lately every single day? Rated every day, or rated every week, or rated every month. So once you get done with one thing, you can celebrate it for about 60 seconds, and then it's like, okay, what are we going to do today, right? That's how my life has been now, my entire life, and I'm just sort of, I don't want to say burned out. I'm just ready to move on to something that gives me more joy that I can really, really celebrate. So how you doing there, Kristen?
Oh, I'm good. Why?
Because okay, you look like you were.
Oh, I was somewhere.
Yeah, where'd you go?
I went to the parking lot.
What's in the parking lot?
I'll tell you.
somebody later.
Is it about the story I told you earlier?
No. Okay.
I'm looking around the room and Chris is just like in La La Land,
I did. I had that like that stare. I will tell you exactly where I was during the commercial break, but okay. I was in the parking lot, but I can't disclose what I was doing in the parking lot.
It's a very distracting time for all of us.
I'm so sorry.
Totally understand.
I just took my first sip of coffee, right. So give me like, give me 5 minutes. You will see a different Kristen.
No worries. What did I just say?
You were talking about your son and how this job is a grind.
Yes.
And you started off the break with you felt it was odd that you were telling your 18-year-old to pump the brakes.
Okay, so even if you're in La La Land, somewhere in there was listening.
I don't multitask really well, but I multitask kind of well.
So, I'm trying to escape all that. And I'm really, really excited about this time in my life, not having to get up at a certain time. I think if you guys are up with us listening live right now, your mind is kind of always on the clock at night. Like, oh my God, I got to be up at 5:30 in the morning. So I have to have this done. It's always, you too, you guys also, like the clock is always in the back of your head.
Yes, absolutely.
No, I'm just letting the sweet release of sleep take me now. I just lay on the bed and whenever it wants to take me, I go. Sometimes it's 7, sometimes it's 1 a.m. It's a surprise every day.
I always feel like there's some kind of clock and there's always some kind of to-do list in my head that I have to, I'm crossing things off mentally on my to-do list to get to the end of the day, right? So I'm talking to my son, Hollis, who had a great game plan, and he has really dictated to Stacy and I what he has wanted to do. And I think this is the way that we parent. We listen to our kids, we give them suggestions, and then they do what they want to do, right? We could tell them like, hey, man, I think there's a real pitfall here. I just want you to think about this. But he had a game plan going into college, and we went to Ole Miss. He was dabbling in other schools also. I thought for sure he's going to go to Ole Miss after that game we went to, and he was tailgating, and he saw 10,000 blondes his age. I thought for sure he was going to Ole Miss. But he's got Georgia in his head, man. He wants to go to UGA, and he is laser-focused. So his game plan was, Dad, I'm going to go to University of North Georgia for a couple of semesters. I'm getting my grades up because his grades weren't bad in high school. They just weren't SEC Georgia good, which you really need like a 3.8, 3.9 or something ridiculous like that to get into Georgia now. And he had like a 3.4, 3.5. Wasn't going to cut it. So now that he is taking online classes at UNG, dude has like a 3.95 or something like that. He is very, very determined, and I'm very, very proud of him. So he was talking to me about next semester, and he was talking to me about taking summer classes also because he wants to get through all these BS classes and get to his classes that really have some meaning.
Oh, summer classes were the worst.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I love summer at UF was so fun.
Really?
Nobody took summer classes seriously. It was show up to class for an hour and then you'd go drink Skol for a couple more hours at the bar. That's what summer B at UF was about.
Ugh. I don't know if his were online classes or he was actually going to be in a room, but he was talking about taking a couple of classes here and a couple of classes there and then getting to his core classes. And I said to him last night, based on what I'm going through and what I have my entire life, this grind. I'm like, dude, I just want to throw something out at you here. That these years of college right here, this window of opportunity, right, for you to learn, but also to have a great time is such a beautiful window, man. Do not rush it. Take a semester, take your summer off, man. Go goof off, have a really great time. Don't have this on your mind for a couple of months and then get back to the grind. Maybe that's the way you want to go. So you're not rushing. And I'm like, because I want to tell you, I want to peek into your future here. Once you graduate, that's the real world. Don't be in a rush to get to it.
Yeah.
So we talked about that last night. I'm wondering if you guys would give the same advice.
So I think I'm going to disagree. All right. And I want to ask, if he finishes the summer classes at UNG over the summer, does he get to go to UGA in the fall?
No, he has another semester at UNG.
Okay. Because I was going to say, you can't miss another SEC fall. And I'm like, I think it's worth it to put your nose to the grindstone. But if it's still going to be another fall, then it is sort of like, what is one other semester? But I have to say, as someone who went to an SEC university, like, I loved my time at UF. And I busted my butt in high school because I wanted to be able to enjoy those 4 years. And so I almost wonder if, you know, he has to suck it up for a little bit now in the summer and the fall, but then finally he's going to get to where he actually wants to be, which is UGA. And even though it seems like you're going to be grinding, once you get to where you want to be, you can kind of take a deep breath. I coasted at UF. Like, he can get to UGA and all he's got to do is graduate. But for now, until he gets that UNG associate's degree or whatever, he's got to kind of bust his butt a little bit.
Yeah, well, two things. This kid is not a coasting kid. He already is talking about getting into the Terry School, I think, which is UGA's business school, which is really prestigious. And secondly, while he's not on campus at Georgia, he's living in Athens. So he's living the lifestyle without being on campus. So that rush to get to an SEC campus, he's kind of living it already.
Gotcha.
I got to agree with Abby on this one. Normally I'd be like, slow your roll, enjoy the time, but he's got a goal. And the faster he gets done at UNG, the faster he can get to UGA and spend more time there. So I'm like, if that is what you want and that is your goal, sometimes you got to really bust your butt to get your goal. And I think it's a good lesson on both ends. I know Hollis, I know he's a hard worker. I know he's got big dreams and he's dedicated and he will work to meet them. Like, I would say, hey, if this is what you want, I'm going to support you in this. And then later when it gets to UGA, I'd be like, okay, let's not do summer classes. Now take the time to enjoy the real college experience. But right now you got your sights on something, go for it.
Is one semester really in the overall thing?
Yes.
When it's really going to change all that much?
Meeting people, making those connections.
And he's already there doing that.
And I know he's a social kid. I'm sure he wants to join Greek life and do all those things that, you know, you're kind of barred from if you're not at the university. But I think of my college semesters, like each semester was so specific to that phase in my life. Like, I can look back on a photo and immediately go, that's fall 2016. That's spring 2017. Because every semester has its own kind of spirit and vibe and storylines that happen in your life. And so I think maybe I'm passionate about it because I loved my time so much at the school that I went to that, because I don't have that same experience of having to transfer, I don't know if it would be different. Like, I don't know if I had gone to Santa Fe before transferring to UF, if I would have the same feeling. Mm-hmm. But because I loved my time so much at Florida and all the things I got to do, that like, if he's on track to get there, and it sounds like he's really been killing it to be able to go to UGA, but like, full steam ahead, get your ass to Georgia.
What do you think?
Fellow SEC grad over here, I also love my time that I took 5 years to graduate. And just hindsight for me and my like gut reaction, I'm siding with you. I just feel like
maybe it's because we're the elders in the room.
possibly. And I just know how fast life goes. And I think it's just a difference of vantage point and perspective and POV as far as like, if, you know, I did take the scenic route. I took a semester off and then I went back and then I also had to do summer classes in order to catch up. My 5 years at UK were fantastic. And so I think him, you know, you are going to, and I love that this is already instilled in him, the grit, the worth ethic. I think that's incredible. And I know you want to foster that. And the good news is I don't see him do it either way. I don't think he can go wrong. Right, I think if he goes, puts his nose to the grindstone and gets to that UGA campus, he's going to do great. I think if he takes a semester off and has some fun and does a little bit of living and chilling, I think he's going to do great. I think this is a situation where he can't go wrong, which is really, really nice. Mm-hmm. But for myself, I just know what a grind life is.
Yeah.
And if you have the capability just to take a step back and, you know, do something fun while you can, take that opportunity.
Yeah, I'll play this for him because all the perspectives are really, really good here.
Yeah.
So, and the kid's going to do what he wants anyway. He's really good at processing stuff and then saying, you know what fits me really well? I'm going to do blank. But as a parent, all you can do is give your input, and if they take it, fantastic. If not, ain't no thing, man. Go be happy.
Mm-hmm. Hollis, transfer to Florida. Go Gators.
That's not an option.
The Burt Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't be scared to call up and say you had a psycho period of your life. Don't. 1-855-BIRCHELL. Although I do think maybe I'm speaking out of line here, like this whole stalking thing you're talking about.
It's not a I'm not stalking.
Drive-bys.
It's a stakeout.
A stakeout. Stalking.
Stakeout.
You can't spell stalking without stake. Somewhere in there.
You are never getting a job.
At this point, I'm trying to make sure everyone knows not to hire me.
I wonder. I have never known a dude to do one of these stakeouts that you're talking about. I have never been called by a guy. I have never called a dude to say, hey, will you stake out with me for my ex? Never once.
It's because usually when men do it, they do it alone and it ends in murder.
Okay. It's a Netflix special.
Yes.
Okay.
Ours are a little... There's a difference. Ours are a little more lighthearted. They're lighthearted stakeouts. They're not murdery stakeouts.
Okay. Tomato, tomato. Let's hear what lighthearted stalking looks like.
It's not stalking. It wasn't stalking. It was a stakeout. All right. So we had a stepping into psycho, and she was sitting in a parking lot of a coffee shop waiting to see if her mother-in-law was going to meet with her husband's ex, right? And it got me reminiscing about my first stakeout. And so I was like, oh, I wonder if this would be considered like a canon event for women. So as far as like canon events for women go, you know, like your first big breakup, your first heartbreak, like there's canon events are major events in your life. They could be good or bad, but they help shape you into the person you are, right? They add character. They build character. So what I want to do is open up the phone lines if you have canon events that you think every woman should experience. And I think every woman should experience a stakeout.
Like what? Because I'm not one. What is a canon event for a woman? Give me an example.
So for a canon event, for a woman, and I already gave you some, like your first major heartbreak, a guy cheat, like having somebody cheat on you. I also feel like one of my canon events was when I got my period and it bled through when I was playing basketball. So it was like one of those when you have a period accident. I think a period accident being is a canon event.
Being in like the ocean and having your boob pop out of your bathing suit.
Canon event.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Right. Abby, canon events for you?
A canon event is looking into the eyes of the man who's on a date with you and you realize that he doesn't see you as a person but as an object.
Yes. Canon event.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. These are what I'm talking about here. So in my head, I'm over here like, oh, I remember my first stakeout. I'm going to share my stakeout canon event story with you, and you call up and share whatever canon event you have. 1-855-BIRCHO. So I was in college. I had met this guy on spring break in Panama City. All right. And it was basically like every single year I was at UK, wherever we went on spring break, it was literally it was like everybody at UK just migrated to whatever city in Florida. And so you ended up hanging out with everybody you go to school with. So Panama City one year, Key West another year. It was just, we were all in the same place. So there was a ton of Kentucky students in Panama City.
And I met this guy who was a phenomenal dancer. And I got up on the bar with him and we were dancing. And of course, it's also during March Madness and Kentucky was, you know, just crushing it. And so we're having the best time. And he and I really, really hit it off and decided to start seeing each other when we got back to school, right? And come to find out, I had a sorority sister come out and she's like, hey, I just want you to know that guy you met on spring break, he used to seriously date my little. And I was like, oh, I had no idea, right? It's Kentucky. It's like, of course you're going to find a guy that has dated one of your sorority sisters. So I went to her and essentially said, hey, so, and this was fresh. And I'm like, hey, so I met blah, blah, blah down, you know, and we really hit it off. Is it okay if I date? I'm like, I got her blessing. And if she was going to say no, I'm like, it's whatever. Like we had a great spring break, dance to Usher, like call it a night. And she was cool with it, right? I was like, all right, great. Because this was like her high school sweetheart. It was like a big deal. Got the blessing. He and I start dating. It's going like great. Really like him. And then something shifts. And I'm like, this, because he's being very elusive. And I'm like, I think he's cheating on me. And I think he's cheating on me with the girl he dated in high school, who's my sorority sister.
No.
So I drove over because I drove over to his like apartment complex and it was like a small like apartment complex. And I remember parking across the street. I know the SAE house was at the end of the street. And then there was their apartment complex. So I just kind of sat there staring at his parking lot trying to figure out cars. And I thought I saw her car because she had a duck decal in the window.
What a weirdo. I'm stuck on that.
Like it was like a mallard like duck decal in the back window or whatever of her like small SUV. It's so crazy when you have canon events, you remember every little detail.
Apparently so, yeah.
And so I'm like, I think that's her car. And so I sat there and I don't recall like how long I sat there, but I never saw any movement from his apartment door. Nobody left, nobody came. So, but I was pretty sure that that was her car. Well, come to find out, she ends up, oh, Charlie's was the place to hang on Monday nights when I was in college.
Sound like you're bragging.
At Kentucky.
You do. You sound like you're bragging.
So it was my dad's birthday. So this all went down on June 14th. It was my dad's birthday, was at my parents' house, celebrated him. Then I left and went to O'Charlie's to hang out with everybody at the bar because that's what we did on Monday nights when I was in college. And I'm at the bar and she walks up to me and she goes, by the way, I want you to know I'm sleeping with Chris.
At O'Charlie's?
Yes.
Come on. You couldn't wait for somewhere else.
Don't confront me at the O'Charlie's. Come on. I like to go there. And it was just kind of like the audacity with how she did it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it was obviously very pointed. Yeah. There was no denying that.
Was there a drink in the face at that point? Because that's the perfect opportunity.
No, because I was like, dude, I was such a pushover and such anti-confrontational. And so she basically tells me, yes, I've been sleeping with your boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. He's been, you know, cheating on you with me. And so we leave the O'Charlie's and
that must have been hard to do.
And then you go to Red Lobster next door.
Right.
No, I drove to his apartment and he also played guitar. So he's outside the apartment.
This guy.
He's
okay.
Outside the apartment complex with his buddy.
And playing Wonderwall.
They're playing. Right.
No, he's like Ken from the Barbie movie.
Yes.
I want to push you around. Well, I will.
When I will. Not Rob. Don't do Rob Thomas like that.
So Chris and his friend are out front sitting there in their lawn chairs playing the guitar with a bunch of other people. And I walk up. Maybe this is more than one canon event, like the stakeout and now making a spectacle in front of a group of people. Because I walk up and I'm like, did you not think I would find out?
In front of all these people. Wow, this guy's playing Wonderwall.
While he's playing Wonderwall.
Yeah, I'm not what. Oh. So I make this huge scene in front of a group of... the only thing I remember saying over and over again, did you not think I would find out?
And what's he doing now? It's like everybody's head's turned to you and him.
But what you talking about? Right. I don't know what you talking right. about.
Played stupid. And then, yeah, so that was that. And then we broke up. And then, of course, I ended up going back and sleeping with him again.
That's how it usually goes.
That is the power of Wonderwall.
So he played Wonderwall and you played stupid.
Oh, girl. My self-esteem was like below zero.
Hey, Jamie. Okay, with that, yours can't sound that bad.
No.
I think we
hit rock bottom. What do you got?
Did we hit rock bottom at O'Charlie's? Is that where we hit rock bottom?
She's like, oh, man, I should have hung up. What's up?
First of all, our town calls it scouting. Okay, it's not stalking. It's scouting for research.
Ooh, I dig it, Rachel.
And my Canon event, I don't know. I think I blacked out up until this point. But it was a very toxic relationship. But I just remembering going to a bar to see if he was there. His car was there. So I went inside. I sat across the bar from him and this girl, and I sent them a beer.
Oh.
And when they looked up, I cheers them, and then I just left.
Good on you, that you is, badass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he didn't answer the 50 times that I called him, so I did that. And then, you know, of course, at that point after I left, he called me 100 times. And, you know, we broke up about 37 times after that, but that's, like, neither here nor there. That was my Canon event.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel pretty proud about it.
Yeah, good for you. You need to be teaching at badass university.
BAU?
Yeah. Good morning, Rachel. You are on the Burt Show.
Hi. Okay, so a girlfriend and I used to go to a gym together, and when we were there, I met this guy. It was great. We went on a walk together. We really hit it off, and this was at my college, and so we ended up going to study together, this guy and I, and he was he made me very uncomfortable. He was pushing up on my body. I was moving away from him. He kept getting onto me. And then I was like, okay, this is weird. I don't ever want to see you again. And I came back to the gym with my girlfriend, and I told her about it. And a few days later, she starts to date him.
No.
And they're a whole item.
Canon event when your best friend dates a guy that,
God, that's, it got sad. Mm. It got sad. Did this happen at O'Charlie's? It's the only way to make
Dude,
it better.
Don't sleep on them rolls. They's yummy.
All right, Courtney, last call on this, then we'll move on. All the pain, I can't take it. What's going on?
So I had started dating my last boyfriend through a job that I got, and we dated for 2 years. We'd never had a fight. Everything was great, but it just wasn't really going anywhere. Like, his mom had told me, oh, my son's not going to end up with you and all that kind of crazy stuff. And I was like, well, I'm not going to be with you if it's not going to be something serious. So I ended up breaking up with him. He sobbed in my car for like a solid hour. And then I remember getting on Twitter like 2 weeks later and seeing that he was already dating this girl who was working at the same restaurant in the same position that he had started dating me in. Mm. And he thought I just wouldn't find out. Oh, and come to find out, this girl also lived in the same neighborhood I lived in.
What a freaking psycho. So this guy is crying in front of you for an hour while he's dating somebody else.
Yes, he was. And then also come to find out, keep in mind, he was 21 at this time. He ended up going to prom with that girl.
Oh, my God, ew.
Sicko.
Ooh, a 21-year-old at a prom?
Yes. What a loser. You ever look up that guy now to see where he is?
You know, he never posts anything anymore, and I don't really question why. I'm just like, yeah. I mean, that's what happens.
I want to talk to
you. Start dating someone.
I want to talk to your principal and why they allowed that to happen. I don't think any 21-year-old should be allowed to enter a prom.
He probably took her to O'Charlie's for dinner beforehand.
You know what we should do tomorrow is ask people. Maybe here's your assignment for today. You got a homework assignment. All right, the big old loser that you dated back in the day. If you haven't looked him up on social media, look him up today and see what that loser is up to. And then hit us tomorrow at the same time. We'll ask you if you actually looked him up just to see what they turned into.
I love that.
So do that today and we'll hit you up tomorrow.
The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.